Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 23rd, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. This episode is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow the show at Locked On Twins, and you can follow me at Nash Walker 9. Last night was one for the ages for the Twins. Really special night. I started out my evening. The Indians and the White Sox were watching that series closely because the Twins came into last night a game and a half behind Chicago. And it was a long shot. You know, it still remains somewhat of a long shot for the Twins to take the American League Central. And why that's so important outside of just bragging rights and beating the White Sox, which is maybe my number one motive, but also that the Twins wouldn't have to play the New York Yankees, who are on fire in the first round, and face Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka, who shut them down at Yankee Stadium last year. So it would be awesome if the Twins could win the American League Central for more reasons than one, but maybe primarily that they would avoid the Yankees in the first round and play at home against someone like Houston or Cleveland or Toronto, someone like that. That would be much better for the Twins than hosting even the Yankees. So I started my night last night watching Cal Quantrill start for Cleveland and pitch against Reynaldo Lopez of the White Sox. Reynaldo pitched very well. This game started about an hour and a half before the Twins game. So Reynaldo pitches well for the Sox. Abreu ties it up with a homer, of course, looking like the American League MVP until another guy showed up. In extra innings, the White Sox get two runs in the top half of the 10th inning, and it looks like they're going to win. Then Francisco Lindor doubles in the runner from second, starting at second, and all of a sudden the Indians are in business down by a run. And now two on because Cesar Hernandez walks, and it's Jose Ramirez, who's the hottest hitter in the world right now, is Jose Ramirez, the third baseman for Cleveland. He comes up against Jose Ruiz, and Ruiz, I think it's Jose Ruiz, throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball down with two strikes. It's a 2-2 count. Ramirez golfs it out at Progressive Field for a three-run homer. White Sox lose. The Twins get a half game there. And then an hour later, Max Kepler homers for the Twins to tie the game at three against the Tigers. And then Kepler walks it off with a single in the bottom half of the 10th. It was a magical night for the Twins, who now today are a half game back of the White Sox. And guess what? The White Sox face Shane Bieber tonight. The Twins get the Tigers with Kenta Maeda on the mound against Casey Mize. Twins are huge favorites to win tonight over Detroit. I know that doesn't mean much, and last night they didn't play very well at all. Hit three solo home runs and then Kepler's walk-off single. But they could be in first place by the time I'm talking to you tomorrow. And the reason that it's still somewhat of a long shot is that the Twins don't have the tiebreaker. And the White Sox have a game in hand, so they're going to play on Thursday, and the Twins will not play tomorrow. The Twins have an off day. So let's say it's still at a half game, or even the Twins have a half game lead tonight. After tonight, the White Sox can tie the division tomorrow, and then just one weekend left, and we're all knotted up, but the White Sox have the tiebreaker. They could win two out of three. The Twins would then have to win all three against Cincinnati, but they'd be in a decent spot, you know, and the White Sox have to play the Cubs at home, and the Twins play the Reds at home. You know, most likely the Twins would win two out of three and the White Sox would win two out of three and the White Sox would win the division with the tiebreaker, but they'd have identical records. But it's likely that the White Sox could lose two out of three. The Twins win two out of three and they're division champs. But I think tonight's the biggest night for that. The Twins need to win. I mean, they just need to win, you know, straight up need to win. And cheering for a White Sox loss is also important. You know, if they have a half game lead going into tomorrow and this division's tied going into the weekend, you got to feel like they have a good chance here against the Reds without Sonny Gray. Trevor Bauer's not going to pitch, and you would think the Twins control their own destiny perhaps at that point, unless the White Sox swept the Cubs, but I don't see that happening. It could, and if they do that, you know, they earned it. If they win these last four games, they've earned it, or four out of the last five. Their magic number is four. The Twins' magic number is six. So the White Sox still have the edge. They still have the tiebreaker, but this is exciting, man. This is why we love baseball. Last night was a perfect example of why we love baseball. That was amazing. I was watching Jose Ramirez hit that homer. Then the Twins go down 3-2, and again, Twins struggling against Tigers pitching. Tarik Skubal loaded the bases. Byron Buxton struck out. And they only could muster three solo home runs, one of them from Mitch Garver, which was huge, and that was great to see. But Mitch still, he'll have a great at-bat, hit a homer, and then the next at-bat he looks lost again like he did before he got hurt. Buxton leads off the game with a home run, just curling it inside the foul pole down the left field line. And I thought last night the Twins again, just they leave opportunities on the table, but they find a way, and they did find a way. Max Kepler reaches out and pokes a down and away changeup from Buck Farmer into the right field flower bed. And that reminded me of when Mitch Garver went opposite field, I think off Nick Wickren last year in that Cleveland series when the Twins had four at home. They lost the first two and they won game three because Garver had two home runs, one off Aaron Civale and one off Wickren. I think it was Wickren. Might have been Nick Goody. But dumped it into that same flower bed, and you had a similar feeling. It was just a huge home run. And Kepler had been struggling mightily. Had a big night last night. Had a big day on Sunday against the Cubs. Hit that home run off you. Darvish went 3-for-5 with a double and a homer and a single. He looks dialed in right now. He gets it done with the walk-off single. And the robes are out. And now we have rally robes. So the story is Josh Donaldson bought the entire team. It's funny. There are some questions about people saying Josh Donaldson, is he about himself? He buys the whole team robes, customized robes and personnel. So Dustin Morse, the Twins communication director, got one too. Buys everyone robes. Nelson Cruz is out again with his sore knee. I think that's more precautionary than anything based on what Rocco has said and based on Nelly's demeanor in the dugout. It's not like he's upset, like he thinks he's going to miss the playoff series next week. But he was draping this robe around everyone who hit home runs. So he draped it around Buxton and Garver and Kepler. And then Kepler, when he won the game in his postgame interview, had the robe, the Cruz robe on. And last year it was the rally squirrel. But the thing with the rally squirrel is you never know when it's going to come. The robe is always there. You know, if they want to use the robe and have it be kind of their shtick and their niche, they can do it. The squirrel was like he came and it was really exciting when he showed up and ran through Max Kepler's legs, but he like never came back, so we forgot about him. But there was a rally squirrel stuffed animal, and that was fun to see as well. But the rally robes look like they have a chance to stick, as Rocco said. And last night was just magical for the Twins. We're going to talk more about it after this word from Indeed, and also highlighting and previewing the game tonight, Kenta Maeda against the rookie Casey Mize. Can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which make it 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. This offer is valid through September 30th. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Free $75 credit. So as we sit right now, the Twins have home field against the Yankees as the 4 seed and also control their own destiny. So if they went out in these last four, again, one against the Tigers tonight, day off Thursday, 3 against Cincinnati this weekend at home, not facing Trevor Bauer or Sonny Gray, but perhaps Luis Castillo, Trevor Mauve, who's been very good. They will have home field in the first round. And if they win these last four, there's a decent chance that they're going to have home, not only that they're going to have home field, but that they're going to be a top 3 seed because they could win the division. But right now, they do have the edge over the Yankees. The Yankees have one more loss than the Twins. Now, if the Yankees win out and the Twins go 3-1, the Yankees have the tiebreaker. So at that point, the Yankees would have home field against Minnesota, and the Twins would have to go to Yankee Stadium and head to the Bronx for the first round, which is the worst-case scenario here. I think we can all agree on that. Best-case scenario is the Twins win the division and play like Houston or Cleveland or Toronto. And you know, all these teams are good that they're going to play. It's the playoffs. I know it's expanded, and the narrative has kind of been like, oh, bad teams are going to get in. I don't think any bad teams are going to be in, especially in the American League. I know the Marlins are in the National League, but none of these teams in the American League are bad. I mean, Toronto is up and coming. They got some young stars in Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr., and they have Hyunjin Ryu pitching for them, big signing this offseason. They've earned it. They deserve it. You know, with the expanded postseason, they took advantage, and they're going to get in, and these guys are going to get that experience, and I think they could spoil someone in the first round. They're not a bad team. The Twins are going to play a good team. Would I prefer them to play Toronto in the first round? Absolutely, but I don't know if they're going to get the one seed. Right now it looks like the Rays are going to get that, Tampa leading the AL East with a comfortable game lead there. But the Twins have an opportunity, and last night it really came solid into fruition when they came back and won that game. If they would have lost that game, it would have been over, and that's how tight this is. That is their margin for error. It is basically zero. You can't lose tonight to Detroit with Kenta Maeda on the mound. They cannot lose tonight. They know that, and I think after last night, they're going to show up and get on Casey Mize early. Twins way better against righties than lefties this year. Last night was Tarik Skubal, the lefty. And tonight is the right-hander in Mize. And Mize has had trouble with his control. He's struggled as a pro. And I know he had a no-hitter going last time out against the White Sox. So he has the raw talent. He's a top pitching prospect, throws hard, has a nice splitter. But he's struggled this year. 6.08 ERA, 16 earned runs in 23 and two-thirds, similar to what we saw from Skubal. Skubal just seemed to have the Twins' number this year, and I'm kind of happy they're not going to see him again. But Mize, not as much. And I think this is a chance for the Twins to really jump on him, get an early lead, and use some of their lower leverage arms. But with a day off tomorrow, it doesn't matter a whole lot. You almost wish they were playing the Tigers again tomorrow just for that opportunity to get another half game. Mize against the Twins this year has a 6.43 ERA, 5 earned runs in 7 innings, has given up 1 home run. So much, much worse than Skubal has been against the Twins. This is really exciting here. We got a couple days left. Today's Wednesday. The season ends on Sunday, and the playoffs start on Tuesday of next week. And these games matter. They really do. And it's been really exciting. And last night was unbelievable with Jose Ramirez. We'll look back on this year and I'll remember last night, especially if the Twins win the division, how special that was and how awesome it was for Kepler to do it and just stick his bat out and hit that ball out. It was unbelievable. And also unbelievable last night, the Twins defense. Byron Buxton is such a game changer in center field. Jamer Candelario ripped one to the right field gap off Taylor Rogers. I get more and more concerned with Taylor Rogers every time out. I stood by him maybe a month and a half ago. Feels like that. Maybe it was only a couple weeks ago. The season's so short. I stood by him. I still believe in him. But at a certain point, you just have to look at the numbers and say, he's not, and Nick Nelson said it best, I think, he's not getting it done. He's not getting it done, Taylor Rogers. He's giving up too many hits, giving up too much contact. The swing and miss stuff hasn't really been there recently, and it's just kind of falling apart for him. Wasn't good again last night. I thought he was shaky again, and there was a 0-2 pitch ripped into the gap from Jamer. I believe it was Candelario, and Buxton made an unbelievable catch in the gap to stop the threat in the 10th inning. There were runners on first and second, Detroit already leading 4-3. And then in the bottom half, Jake Cave pinch runs for Donaldson. Rosario sticks his bat out on a pitch that was like maybe a foot outside, dumps one to center. Cave scores. Rosario steals second on a Garver strikeout. Sano struck out, Garver struck out, and then Kepler sticks his bat out and sends one to left field, a little blooper, and that's the game. But that game doesn't happen. That win doesn't happen if Byron Buxton's not in center field. He is uberly important. He is the X factor for the Minnesota Twins. We've been saying that for a long time now, and especially after his first half last year. Byron Buxton's the team MVP at this point. It has been all month. Nelson Cruz hasn't played much, and when he has played, he wasn't getting it done with bases loaded, wasn't driving in runs like we're used to seeing, wasn't hitting home runs like we're used to seeing. It's been the Byron Buxton show, and you know what? It's been the Pineda Buxton Donaldson show since they've come back. Those three have been outstanding for the Twins, and Derek Falvey and Thad Levine had themselves quite the trade deadline for Minnesota. That those three have been huge additions, especially Buxton because of the defensive ability that he gives you. I've always said, he gives you at the plate. What he gives you at the plate is a bonus, but if he's going to slug like 600, he's got a higher slugging percentage than Nelson Cruz. If he's going to slug as much as he is and hit as many bombs as he's hitting, that's an MVP candidate, and we've been saying that. He was an MVP candidate in 2017. He was a below-average hitter because he's so good in center field, makes catches that no one can make, makes plays that not a single other player can make. Byron Buxton is amazing, and I'm so glad. Hopefully he stays healthy over these next four games. I'm so glad that he's going to be in there for the Twins in the playoffs. They need him out there. Whoever you replace him with, it doesn't matter if it's Max Kepler, who's great in center even. I mean, he's above average. No one compares to Byron Buxton. That is such a drop-off in production defensively, and also the spark that he's giving you right now at the plate is really tremendous. Byron Buxton is a game-changer. He can change the whole game. He can change the whole season for the Twins and turn it around. Not that they've been going in a poor direction, but he just changes games, man. And Rocco said it last night, he points you in the direction to win baseball games. Buxton has been amazing. And this team's coming together defensively. They've come together defensively all year. Still struggling a little bit at the plate, but hitting home runs, which will help them next week and into October, hopefully. But they have an opportunity here to take this division. They're going to need some help from Cleveland and Chicago, the Cubs, not the White Sox. But they need to win their games. They need to focus on what they're doing and continue to get going. Kenta Maeda on the hill for the Twins has been amazing this year. This matchup is leaning heavily in Minnesota's favor tonight. It's not like when Kenta pitched against Ronaldo Lopez last week, because the White Sox offense is like leaps and bounds better than Detroit. This is a good matchup for the Twins. This is a game that they should win. I think they're -280 favorites, which is massive. Go Twins. Hopefully by tomorrow, I'm talking about the AL Central leaders. Have a great day.